edited by Rob Doyle, the other Irish tradition is a new anthology of experimental fiction. 23 stories and extracts trace an unruly path from Jonathan Swift's A Modest Proposal of 1729 right up to June Caldwell's Leitrim Flip, published in 2017. Along the way, we'll get Joyce, we'll get Beckett, we'll have O'Kane, and maybe names that we might know quite so well. Rob Doyle is with me in studio to tell me more. Was it always going to be Swift? Was he always going to be the starting point, Rob?
Yes, Swift and Lawrence Stern, who of course wrote Tristram Shandy, these are colossal figures in what we might call subversive or satirical boundary-pushing Irish literature. And when I had the initial meeting with John O'Brien, who's the head of the Docky Archive Press, who published the book, he asked me if I wanted to edit this anthology, and we basically had an initial discussion of which authors might go in there, and it was obvious to both of us that Swift, well, maybe Stern in particular, Lawrence Stern in particular, and then Swift would be the kind of beginning, and it would look at everything that's kind of happened since then. Like you said in your introduction, some very major names and some quite obscure names, actually, who have maybe been purveyors of this more, let's say, even perverse or experimental, to use that slightly fusty word, or subversive or just playful counter tradition that runs through Irish literature alongside the more kind of social realist stuff.
How important is that playful counter tradition to Irish literature?
Yeah, I mean, there's a strong argument, which I tried to kind of make in the introduction, also in an essay that went out in today's Irish Times, that in fact it this playful, exuberant, subversive, even avant-garde streak could be said to represent the deeper identity of the Irish literature tradition, the Irish literary tradition, in that, I mean, you look at our tree, I guess the three 20th century authors who are held in highest regard, all of which are included in the anthology, would be, of course, James Joyce, Samuel Beckett, and probably Flann O'Brien. And these were, I mean, the one thing that these three have in common is that they completely tore up whatever rule books were available to them at the time, not just in terms of Irish literature, but in terms of global literature, and completely rewrote the rules, and they blazed new trails into exotic and wondrous new territories, so much so that even a colossal figure like Borges over in Argentina read Flann O'Brien's work and said he had never come upon more labyrinthine works of literature.
How important, or do you think, what is the role? This is a big question. This is a PhD thesis. The role of our colonial past in all of this. Given that you start with Jonathan Swift and The Modest Proposal, which of course was a way of dealing with the difficult Irish and the poverty in Irish, you know, obviously satire in this case. But that colonial past, does it inform a lot of that, the unruly side of things?
First of all, I want to say it's a PhD. I haven't gotten around to writing yet, so I don't really know. However, I'll take a wild stab at it and say that my sense of it since I started editing this anthology 2 years ago is that, yes, now, this is quite intuitive rather than, you know, research-based, but I have a feeling that the gleefully, exuberantly subversive, I keep coming back to the word subversive because it's a quality I tend to really respond to in literature, and pretty much everybody who appears in this anthology, you know, from Jonathan Swift right up to June Caldwell or Mike McCormick, and could be defined as subversive authors. And yeah, you could say that a people, a nation that was, you know, a colonial subject for however many hundred years is inherently somehow geared towards sabotage, subversion, the playful hoax, you know, the gleeful disruption. And that's the stuff that I respond to in literature and the stuff that I try to celebrate in this book.
Is subversion, do you think it's something that has been there throughout, you know, because we're starting back in the 18th century, 1729 in the case of A Modest Proposal, which I think is the oldest piece in the book.
Sure.
Is subversion a quality that has been praised throughout time? Or was there a time when, in fact, being subversive was, well, no, would you just obey the rules, please? Do what you're told.
Yeah, well, I mean, as in all the art forms from time immemorial, you know, a lot of the greatest ones tend to get the recognition, not necessarily in the moment, but somewhat after by the, you know, when they're kind of exhumed by the literary archaeologists and so on. And they tend to take a lot of flack for it at the time. Let's not forget even somebody like James Joyce when he wrote Ulysses, which is such a scatological book and such a perverse book and such a sexually kind of explicit book. He was vilified.
Getting it published was a problem.
Yeah, it was a real problem. He really had to struggle to do it. So, you know, it wasn't that these guys gained immediate acclaim for their subversive, boundary-pushing nature.
You mentioned Mike McCormack, who's one of the contemporary writers who's in there, but it's a story of Mike's. People will know Mike particularly for Solar Bones, which recently won him the International Dublin Literary Award this year, in fact. You go to one of his stories, The Occupation, A Guide for Tourists. What struck you about that?
Yeah, well, that's a fabulously interesting story, which actually comes from his first collection from 1996, which was called Getting It in the Head. And it's in the tradition, I guess, of Borges and people like that. It's a formally very innovative story that actually bifurcates. As you're reading the story, the narrative strand splits off into three different kind of subsections. So you're kind of following the story towards its inevitable conclusion according to any one of three different paths. So it's kind of like some quantum schism of reality. But I think more generally, the great thing about an author like Mike McCormack is that he's always been a bit of a lonely warrior, in that he's getting great recognition now ever since he published the novel you mentioned, Solar Bones. But ever since he appeared in the mid-90s, he's been kind of doing his own thing. He's a writer after my own heart, in that he seems to just not really care about the dominant aesthetic and trying to play by those rules. And he's just written the books that he wanted to write. And he was always instinctually faithful, I guess, to that boundary pushing, exploratory, less parochial sense of what it is to be an Irish writer that I find exciting. And that's outward looking. You know, let's say another thing that a lot of these authors in this collection have in common is that they are anti-parochial. In this, now, there's nothing wrong with, you know, being interested in the local and all that kind of thing. But somebody, I like authors who are looking outwards to Europe and beyond for their aesthetic influences. They're looking at the world rather than merely taking influence from what's happening down the road. And that's something that McCormack, like so many of these authors, shares.
You mentioned June Caldwell, which is actually the final piece in the book, Leitrim Flip, a piece about an S&M,
good old S&M
scenario
story,
in Leitrim.
Yeah.
Now, can you get more parochial than that?
No, I think Caldwell was a perfect fit for this book because she just kind of came out of nowhere, and her fiction and her first book was a blast of completely, in a sense, unfiltered truth. You know, it's like being stuck in, thrown into the skull, into the interior world of somebody with a very intense perspective on things. And it pays no respect to proprieties or to kind of literary expectations.
It certainly, the wooden thing fits into one of the things you talk about in the introduction, I think it is, where you bemoan, as you put it yourself, the predominance of a certain type of fiction in Ireland. What is the certain type of fiction that's annoying you so much?
I really don't want to set up a kind of a warlike dichotomy between, you know, here you have this mainstream and then you have this rebellious counter tradition on the other side, because I really don't think it falls that way. That makes it seem to, there's far more cross pollination going on than we expect. However, I guess what I had in mind was a lot of the novels that people read and talk about a lot would have a kind of stateliness, a stately melancholic lyricism, and a rigid respect, a kind of maybe too much respect for the conventions of the English novel, the English realist novel, and the kind of stuff that you're taught in these creative writing MFAs about arcs of plot and well-rounded characters and so on. And you can do great things with that. Let's not forget, you can do great things with those models. And if you're interested in that tradition, then you follow it. That's great. However, I just like to shine a bit of spotlight onto something which is a bit more, as I say, subversive, a bit more bawdy, a bit more freewheeling. Playful is a word I come back to a lot more. I love authors who are playful.
23 stories and extracts in this particular collection, the other Irish tradition. Did you have to whittle it down to 23? Could you have mountains there? Is there another Irish tradition to be published?
It's a very necessarily incomplete book. I mean, let's face it. This book covers 300 years of Irish literature. The other Irish tradition is three centuries, and so I had to dump lots of great stuff. And there are tons of even contemporary authors who I wanted to.
But you just didn't have the space.
I just didn't have the space.
Well, maybe there is.
But what's in there is gold. So.
Okay. Well, that's a Gardener Rob Doyle. What's in there is gold. The other Irish tradition, edited by Rob Doyle, published by Darky Archive Press. And Rob will be discussing the anthology this Saturday at the Dublin Book Festival. You can find out details of Rob's event and everything happening at the festival on DublinBookFestival.com.